When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Whoa! Jump aboard the Lions Super Bowl train before it's too late. We are back.
Oh, that was you, Jay.
Make it. Yeah, no. Anyway, we are back. We are back for another exciting episode of Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Big Z couldn't be here today, but I'm here, UJ, and I'm here with Rev Dog.
Yo.
Hello there.
All right, guys. So you've been thinking a lot about the Lions this week, guys?
Never. Not once. Yes.
No.
Always.
Always. Never. Wait, same difference.
I know.
All right.
When you're standing in line at a store or something, it's just like a moment. You're like, Lions. Or like your traffic stop, Lions. It's every. We're going to sleep, Lions.
When you're just, if the traffic stop, the light turns blue.
When you're casually watching YouTube and it throws on the, you know, 20-minute long highlight video from the Dallas game, and you're like, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's that time of year, boys. It's only a couple days now. It's Thursday, the first game of the year, first preseason game, and the Lions are in it. The Hall of Fame game, Canton, Ohio, against the San Diego Chargers. Are you guys excited for that?
Oh, yeah.
Be honest.
Oh, yeah. It's a good matchup, okay. And you got two fun coaches going at it, and
a bunch of rookies ready to show out.
Okay, all right, but let's be honest here. Generally speaking, Hall of Fame game is like a horrible game. Game sucks as a game.
It's first game
but
of the preseason.
What are you excited about seeing in this game?
The rookies, Ratledge and Wilkins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Tesla, yeah, think, baby. That kid's looking
Tesla.
Good.
Turn it up in camp here. He's a tough matchup. 6'4" with that speed and good hands.
He looks bigger than Patrick. Patrick's listed as like 6'5", but like Tesla just looks bigger. He looks like he takes up more space. And it might be like a mass thing. Maybe he's not their same height roughly, but he just looks like a beast out there, man. He dwarfs guys.
Yeah, there's been a couple of nice highlights that have been put out by the press and Lions press, and it's been fun to watch. I wish you could see a lot more.
Oh, God.
Get these little glimpses, you know, and now that they're in pads going at it, we go and get what we can read, unless you can be there at camp.
Yeah.
Which
I haven't been able to, and I don't think any of us are going to make it this year.
Not in this crew.
No. That was my next question for you, Bob, if you're going this year.
No. It's
a little harder when you
get out there for games, let alone camp, but maybe next year.
Yeah, it's not like you're down the street, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of a haul, so.
No, they should do training camp on the north side of Chicago, then I could just walk over there. Yeah. That'd be good. But
just so that we can go watch them.
Yeah, just the Kool-Aid crew.
I think the line, you know, they should do the show of tough they are, is just like go down to Lake Forest and for the Bears camp and just like kick them out of their own camp and just practice there just to piss them off. Like, you know what I mean? And then just leave.
Wake Forest?
Lake Forest.
Lake Forest.
Oh, where the even Bears less practice. Like intimidating.
Don't even tell them. Just walk in there and, hey, we're taking a field over today, but get the hell out of here.
Is that tough? I don't know.
Okay, that's pretty
a
dumb.
More prickish than
hey,
tough.
But, why not?
Yeah, but I am excited for the preseason game. I want to see what Hooker can do with some extended playing time. I'd like to see if he's actually improved.
Yeah.
That would be a nice thing to see.
The other guy they have, it sounds like he's making some plays too in camp. What's his name? I forget.
Which guy?
Alec. The one they signed at backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Andy or something. I don't know. I haven't learned his name yet.
Kyle Allen?
I knew there was an A in it. Yeah. Thanks, Kid J.
Kyle Allen. He's doing great.
I've heard he's looking good. So, yeah. I mean, which is just good. Like, obviously, I want Hooker to win that battle just because he's our guy. And I mean, if Allen puts that fire under him or beats him out, you know, all the better. You got a better player than, you know, it's iron sharpens iron. It gives them a little bit of heat.
How about Tyleek Williams too, man? You guys
heard a little
he's
bit
our,
slow.
He's our first pick, but he doesn't get as much buzz as the other because he's not a flashy position. But it sounds like he's playing really well, and he's going to slot right in there to start the season.
Yeah, I've heard some good things, but I haven't heard any like standout stuff. Like he's not blowing people away yet. But
you were telling me today that you heard he was kind of like a little erratic and not quite. On top of it right now,
I'm not worried about it.
Well, no, I'm not worried either.
Getting his feet under him and stuff like that. I was looking at some different articles here and there, and Tim Kornheimer from the DetroitLions.com had a list of 10 players that stood out to him. And now here, the first one to me, this is the guy I've been preaching to on the top of the mountain from. Marcus Davenport was number one on his list that's been standing out in practice. Now, if this guy stays healthy for a whole season, look out, NFL, man. Hutch and Davenport on the end, it's going to be a lethal combination. Lethal.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm done qualifying it. When he dominates this season across from Hutch, it's going to be awesome. You know, there's no point qualifying anymore. He's healthy. He's in the fight. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to get excited about all that freaking potential, man. He's such a stud. And him and Hutch. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
Sorry, I'm just kidding.
Listen to him talk, too. He, you know, people consider him injury prone or whatever, you know, because it seems like he is. But in his mindset, he's ready to roll. Like, he doesn't feel like he's an injury prone person. He just had some bad luck. So I'm excited.
He's had some really bad luck over the years. Yeah.
I agree.
There's a lot of players in the history of the NFL have had.
Remember Stafford?
Similar situation.
I felt like Stafford was never going to be healthy for a full season for, like, what, like 3 years straight to start his career? And, like, then he became, like, an Iron Man. I mean, at different positions, but still, like, sometimes it's just training the right way. There's so many things you can do to improve your ability not to get injured. Well, like, or then, like, play on a worse team, I guess, because I was watching that Dallas game highlights, as I mentioned, and I figured out why Aleem hurt Hutch. And it's because he was playing too damn good. He had 2 sacks himself in that game. And the two of them were absolutely wrecking that Dallas offensive line. And it was just like no surprise they collided into each other at some point. So, I mean, I think Hutch and Davenport might want to train that. I bet Hutch trained like the dodge, the the oncoming traffic a little bit.
What, like, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball or whatever. You know?
right.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge your teammate coming in for the sack from the other angle.
Hey, UJ, can I guess another name on the list?
Yeah.
Wide receiver Dominic Lovett, our seventh rounder.
He was number 10 on Raymond's list.
Yes, because I've heard him. He's buzzing, and he's going to be on the team. He's going to be a special teamer. He might do returns, and I'm sure he'll eventually see some, you know.
Well, they say
time.
On special teams and as a gunner, he is just killing it out there, especially as a gunner.
Yeah.
But he's doing pretty good at receiver, too. because Mark is on special teams right now.
Exactly. So, they said he's pretty shifty too, and they might use him for returns. Which
yeah, I think yeah. Campbell awesome. Said that. Yeah.
Well, you think they will though? You think Khalif Raymond take a backseat to him and return?
Well, he didn't say night? Use him. He just said give him some reps there, like in camp yeah. and stuff. Just try him out. Give him an opportunity. Think about it that way. Like Khalif Raymond is good at that, but he also is a valued receiver. And like if you see some of these clips in this camp, boys balling out, like he's got juice still. And this would be a perfect time to pass the reins there to a younger, more, you know, less experienced player who's just got the talent right now, but got to figure out the other parts of the game. I think it's a perfect time for him to pass the reins. Maybe use him on special ones where you really want to get a return or something, but like let him save some of that tread on him because he is good on offense.
Well, Doug, I'm going to disagree with you on that point. Khalif was one of the best returners in the league last year. Why would you take him out of there?
Well, let me.
However, let me just throw this in there.
Go ahead.
Khalif didn't run back kickoffs, did he?
No. Not all the time anyway. I don't know if he.
Never, I don't think he ever did last
might
year.
Be right.
But maybe that's a job for him, for Lovett.
Well, yeah. Well, and like again with Khalif though is like maybe Lovett has to show it too though. You're not just gonna give it to him if Leaf's still that guy and he's the top guy. Maybe yeah, you still. Because he is still he's going to be like the fourth receiver potentially. Because I just have a feeling Tesla, he just offers something so unique with that size. I think, because you know what? Another one I keep thinking of now is Tesla and Patrick on the field at the same time gives some big boys for Goff to throw it up to, you know, like that. I think he's just going to have a place on this offensive, you know, rotation. And so
if this line can be halfway decent, the weapons we have are ridiculous this year. I mean, J-Mo's going to be going off this year, which I'm sure he's on your list there.
J-Mo is on the list. Let's stay on the list for the moment. But just keep that point for later, okay?
Okay.
When we talk about a couple other things. But further down this list, okay? Some of these guys are seemingly obvious buys, and there are a couple that are not. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. Marcus Davenport, obviously, number two with Gibbs.
Nice, yeah.
Premier. Is that a surprise?
No, not at all.
Not really.
Wait, what is this list again?
No, this is Tim Twentyman from DetroitLions.com. He just put a nice 10 guys that are impressing the most now.
Oh, impressing the most.
Standouts at camp. You know.
Standouts at camp, right? Yeah. So, well, you got Davenport, Gibbs, and then number three, Terrion Arnold.
Oh, he looks
and,
so good.
And not just from Twentyman, but everything I read about Terrion, he is just awesome.
Yeah,
having a great camp.
All the clips. I mean, like, we're in an awesome time now where they are gracious enough to share, like, these shorts for the camp, and you get to see several reps, and Terrion Arnold is, like, glue on these receivers. He looks so good. He makes Tim Patrick look like he can't get open, no height or otherwise. Like, he's just on him. And, oh, he looks good.
Our defensive backs are going to be a strength this year. It's going to be fun to watch.
You know, it's so fun with this team and Holmes finding players. How, like, 2 years ago, our secondary was dreadful. I mean, dreadful.
Yeah.
And then last year, he kicked it up a notch, a couple of free agent signings. This year, he kicked it up a couple more notches at that big free agent signing. And all of a sudden, our secondary looks, like, formidable in this league. So.
No doubt.
Pretty cool. But
I heard Kirby's not practicing for some reason.
Is this the fourth year of Campbell and Holmes, right?
That sounds right.
Or is this fifth year?
Five, I think.
No, they won't.
Yeah, two.
Listen,
we went 3-13 and 1, and then we went 9-8, and then we went 13-4 for the. And then into the conference round, and then
so this is year five.
So this is going into year five. Okay.
But think about it, the progression of building this team. How, like, there was always some dreadful weakness on our team somewhere, and like he almost reversed it immediately. Like in his first year, our linebacking crew was horrible.
Yeah.
And then within 2 years, our line unbelievable, and it still is. I think the secondary same way. The only one he didn't have to change a lot, I'd say. Well, maybe he did by picking Sewell, the O-line. But
Less though. You're right. There were three or two studs in place already.
Yeah.
Jonah Jackson was still around, so he had three studs, actually.
Yeah. Anyway.
Though they did add Seidler last year, to their credit. That was
right.
A great move.
So anyway, further down the list, the next guy on the list was LaPorta.
Nice.
Right now, a lot of people's observations say LaPorta is just going to be unbelievable this year.
Yeah, did you read how he's focused on blocking in this offseason, that he wants that to be like a strength of his game? He's already a pretty good blocker as it was, so it'll be nice.
In that Dallas game, there was a play where it was like third or fourth and short or something like that, and he throws a block, like a chip block, and absolutely like levels the dude and goes down himself, gets up, catches the pass, and gets the first down from Goff. It was so sick. If he's doing that when he think, you know, now he's put it into the work, ooh, baby. I mean,
yeah,
he's a
I
weapon.
Think most people consider him a top three or four tight end in the league right now.
Oh, yeah.
So this could be the year he becomes the best. Eh?
Yeah. Even with his supposed down year last year, he still had pretty good stats, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was only down. Well, I guess early on he wasn't really used a lot, but he was injured out for a while too, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so I mean, some injuries that definitely bit into his stat line for sure.
Yeah. So to further go down the list, Hutch. They say Hutch is looking beastly.
So good.
Yeah. And I don't know if you watch any little clips of him so far this year, but he just looks bigger, stronger. Yeah. He just looks monstrous out there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're saying he looks better than ever. So.
I heard he put it like that, like everyone's like saying is Hutch gonna get back, or like is he gonna get back now he's getting back to training. He's like, I've been training for the last 9 months. He's not expecting to get back. He's expecting to be better than he was. And I mean, it's evident in the way he's put his body together. And you know, the thing about like an injury like that is it forces you to a maniacal level of dedication beyond the norm, even when you might just have to like just maintain your body and build on it. Like when you're injured like that, you have to overcompensate and be extra detailed. And like I see nothing but like Superman right there. He looks like an absolute monster.
And maybe in a sense, having a year off saved his body, and he's even, you know, better.
Save the quarterback's bodies.
Less,
yeah,
Fred and all that stuff.
I know. We didn't get the Super Bowl, but at least his body's good. So
I mean, that season he was putting together last year was projecting to one of the greatest, if not the greatest, defensive end seasons in the league.
I was thinking about this a lot. I had this radical notion. I was going to make an unbelievable prediction that you guys are all going to just laugh and say, this is terrible.
Well, now you have.
But this is my prediction. My
prediction.
I'm still thinking about this, but my prediction is Mark and Davenport is going to lead the team in sacks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then, I mean, Hutch sets him up.
But then I was thinking, I don't know, Hutch looks just awesome. I mean, he's on a mission, you know? So, like, this is going to be awesome. So now, my prediction is this. I don't know. I think Hutch will probably leave the team back. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now that this 22, TJ Watt and Strahan, I think share the record. I think Watt did it twice, if I'm not mistaken. So 22 sacks in one season. Hutch was on pace to do that last year. This year, he does it. He breaks the record. And then whatever Davenport gets on top of it will be the greatest two-man sack combination in the history of the NFL.
Ooh.
And I don't know what that number is. I was trying to look it up, and I was having trouble finding it. So maybe our producer can come up with that stat.
You know what?
But those two guys will break the record, whatever it is, for the most sacks by two in the NFL. That's my prediction.
Well, right. You know what, EJ? I'm going to one-up you, two-up you, and say our front four gets the most sacks by four-man combo in history. And our
really
linebacker
one upped him. It's just a different variation.
Well, I added two more players.
Yeah. Okay. That and throw in the linebackers.
Yeah.
And
Jack
the
Campbell also. And
Oh, yeah.
And the safeties.
The defense. This defense could be very fun this year.
D Defensive sacks, though, is something I could see us being very, very high in, because I think we can sack from so many angles. Like, guys like Arnold can blitz. All these guys can blitz. Honestly, Robertson, Meek. Oh, man, there's so many studs.
Hey, UJ, one thing I was looking for when they got to pads, which I haven't seen yet in what I've read about it, was for Hassanin to jump off the page, you know, and once he put the pads on. They kind of tempered expectations a little bit when they were talking about him. But, I mean, they're not saying he's going to be bad, but just don't expect it right out of the gate, I guess.
Right. They said, exactly. I think that's the consensus. He's more of a longer-term developmental than...
Because I can't wait to see him, man. I'm so excited.
Me too. I think we'll see a lot of him that Thursday. Yeah. I think we'll see some of him.
Here's the thing, though. They say he's picking things up quickly. And I think when you got his physical talent and you do pick it up quickly... That means you're good. It's gonna click quickly. So, like, I don't know what quickly means exactly, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's by the end of camp he's already viable as just at least a start or like a rotational guy. But like by midseason, he's like a full on, you know, starter quality guy.
I'm expecting him to go out there in the field, and go, "Oh, mighty Isis," and lightning and thunder will come down. And
I like it. He'll have a bunch of scarabs like running around, you know,
and no flags
and
were thrown.
Will come flying through, and
the Egyptian.
That's how we'll know it's our year, because the refs won't throw a flag for that.
We can't wait to. I think I'm very excited about him. All right, I'm gonna go down the list a little further here.
Go
after Hutch was Tesla. He's been standing out, but they did mention that he tweaked his knee a little bit.
It's
but
an ongoing.
It hasn't
thing.
Kept him out of anything. He's still out there doing everything.
It's a nagging injury.
So obviously, hopefully, he's not too serious. So we don't want.
He's been here. Around for a while, and he's just working through its pain. Not
now, Red Dog. The next two on the list, you're gonna like a lot.
All right,
Isaac Okwu.
Ooh, I do like Isaac.
Yes. You're saying he keeps making standout plays, like he keeps jumping off the page. You know, like. Right with regularity, and
he was one of the guys of all those like guys that like came in at the end of last year to like really bolster our defense as much as we could muster. That I felt did stand out pretty significantly. He's got some nice traits, good size. He's powerful, so that's exciting to hear. Because I just had a feeling one of those dogs would stick around. Like I have a feeling some of them will go. Like not everybody's making the roster. Maybe practice squad hide, but like. That's cool.
Well, you know, if you're looking for a silver lining in injuries, last year with all the injuries you had, these guys got a chance to play that normally would not have had a chance.
True.
Guy like Okwu or Muhammad, those guys, when they, you know, they get a chance to go out there and prove themselves, they build up the belief in themselves even more. You know what I mean? And then they know they can do it. Now they're like, so I could see these guys in camp just tearing up.
Yeah,
you know,
man. It's a hard league.
They believe in them.
It's a hard league, and it takes a long time to figure it out for guys. Like everyone's got the tools, you know, who's there. So it's like, just because you got them doesn't mean you're going to figure it out and make an impact. But, like, those opportunities are key. And I just wanted to bring a point, though, with Ahmed, is that, you know, his development's going to accelerate and look subdued at the same time, because look who he's going against. Like, our O-line is studly, and like even our depth is good. Like they're all, we had a bunch of experienced dogs on that O-line, and so like that's a great place for him to sharpen his skill set, but it's also going to be not super easy out the gate. It's a lot of technical ability on that line.
Oh, for sure. Let me go to the next guy, because the Red Dog, you were talking about this guy just earlier today. Keith
Cooper
Jr.
He made the list.
Undrafted free agent.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, he's jumping off the page a bit out there. 6'5", 280, defensive lineman. I don't know any exact details of this kid.
You said Keith Cooper?
Yeah, Keith Cooper.
Keith Cooper. Yeah, he was getting second team reps, I think, wasn't he?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, double team.
Well, all these injuries are going to create so much opportunity on this D-line right now.
Oh, yeah. But when you get a guy like that no one's even heard of and comes out there, I love that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah, it's what dreams are made of, you know.
Ran a 4.95 at 280. I mean, not super fast, but that's some serious size. You can't teach that 6.5.
Yeah, for D lineman.
I'm sure he's strong too.
That's pretty good. So yeah, he stood out. The other standouts were J-Mo and Lovett.
J-Mo, baby,
which
he
we already talked
so
about.
So good.
In a minute.
I found the answer to what two teammates had the most like combined sacks in NFL history.
Oh, what is it? Yeah. What is it? Good.
Since they started counting sacks in 1982.
Should we guess first?
You can.
JJ.
I guess ready.
Yeah, thought those.
Well, I thought we should all guess. There's a lot of options. Okay, fine. I'll go quick. Von Miller and I can't remember his teammates.
All right,
Nick Chubb. Von Miller, Nick Chubb. I don't even go.
All right. What is it?
What's the answer?
You mean Bradley Chubb? Nick Chubb's a running back. How did he get sacks? You tell me.
He's talented. What can I tell you?
Chris Doman and Keith Millard of the Minnesota Vikings in 1989 had 39 sacks combined.
Oh, man. Doman and who was the other guy?
Ooh. Keith Millard.
Miller? I remember Doleman a lot. I remember the
What's
Miller
the now. Next on the list, KJ? What's like.
And how many was it, KJ?
30.
Not even that
39.
Much.
Wow.
Over two guys, I guess. It's not
bad. I remember Millard Fillmore was a president. I don't know how that helps this, but.
Keith.
The only other Millard I knew.
Keep it relevant. The second one was Clyde Simmons and Reggie White. They had 34 combined sacks.
Okay.
To the most.
Contemporary one.
Yeah, the most recent ones. TJ. In 2021, TJ Watt and Cam Hayward had 32 and a half sacks, but TJ Watt had 22 and a half that year. So
that's crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's still
thanks, KJ. That's
still
awesome.
Like 11 sacks by Hayward though. Hey, word.
You notice no Rams on the list. That's what stands out to me.
Where's Aaron Donald? No list.
You said he had multiple double from
maybe
defensive tackle Benny.
Maybe that'll be Aleem can be the Hayward to Hutch when he comes back because that's what they were trending last year.
Well, that puts a number on my prediction of 40 sacks for Davenport and Hutch. So
wow, you're gonna go one over.
Chalk it up, baby.
Predicting 45 right.
On the sack train, baby. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
I like it. I mean, they're gonna be the probably most talented duo. I mean, who else? What's another comparison out there that's even like on that level with both of those dudes healthy?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's just fun to make it come true. I'll look like a genius.
Can anyone think of a comparable?
You won't reference this prediction again.
I'll never mention it again.
Oh, yeah. Let's test everyone's league knowledge. Can anyone think of a comparable duo in the league right now?
Watt and whoever the other guy is.
Probably I'm Will Anderson and I'm Danielle Hunter.
I was gonna say
that's a good one.
That's a really good one.
Anyway, it's gonna be fun to see these two guys at a healthy Marcus Davenport and a healthy Hutch. Just quarterbacks are gonna like not want to play the game that week. But, oh my leg hurts. Oh, I can't play. You got to put the other guy in. They're not going to want to play.
Here's a question, because I think this is, like, right now the most interesting, like, group. I mean, after Hutch and Davenport, what this D-line is, including our interior, who do you guys think will be the starting duo of D-tackles to start the season?
Well,
not necessarily down the stretch, but to start the season.
Well, the whole starter thing is a... I mean, they play the first play of the game, right?
No, they're going to be your main lineup, your number one lineup of four. They'll get the most time.
I think it's going to be Tyleek and Reader. But I get the rookie out there and Reader.
Reader's
That's
a given
what I think.
For sure, I think.
Yeah.
At least until Aleem is healthy. And
I think Tyleek will be out there for sure.
I would have said Levi.
Yeah. It's kind of why it's so up in the air right now, though. Like, Levi was the guy, especially with Aleem down. But, like, now it's like, who? I mean, obviously Tyleek, but.
Just a shame how it worked out with Levi.
Roy Lopez is going to have anything to say about that?
out the whole season.
Yeah, that's with, sucks.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then he signs a contract for $4.5 million or whatever it is, and then he can't play the whole season.
Yeah, it blows so hard.
I don't know. It's so weird to me.
Yeah, that whole thing is
like
weird.
Like, they didn't know that.
I mean, think about the line you balance in the NFL of injury between pain and injury, and when you're, like, a full-on surgery like that is something you're going to want to try to avoid if you can, but, like, if, like, it develops in a bad way or something, sometimes, you know, doctors can't just see it coming, so.
Yeah.
It snuck up on him a little bit, and he had to get the surgery to get it done. It's, you know, it blows that it came so late before the season, but. You know, he'll be back for next year potentially. Granted, he will be a free agent after this year. So, I mean, yeah. It'd make it easy to sign, I think.
Talk about silver linings, though. Red Dog, you and I were talking about this earlier. He doesn't play all year, so next year he's a free agent. But first of all, he owes the line, man. He owes that.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
So, even if it's another 1 year contract, he'll be healthy again, and you sign him on a cheap deal like he did this year, like $3 million. Whatever.
Yeah, and if he gets after like Hutch did, like the Lions are going to expect, and like I have a feeling he will, like he's going to come back even maybe better than ever. So I mean,
well, he'll be coming back to a Super Bowl champion.
That's true. Yeah,
so
that's true.
Well, that'll be great too, because it'll be hard to hold on to talent after this year.
Well, that's another story for later. But it's gonna they got a lot of people they got to pay.
Yeah.
So.
They've been pretty diligent on staying on top of it for the most part.
I just want to mention one other guy 20 men mentioned. That was Grant Stewart.
Nice.
I think. And I ever since I've been.
UJ loves him.
I love this man. And I think he's going to be a fan favorite. He's going to be a fan favorite, man. Just constant energy, and just like he's always being shot out of a cannon. Like, he's just an insane.
Like Zach Follett, who doesn't concuss himself.
Yeah, but he's actually got talent too. I mean, he played couple of games at the end of the year for the Colts, and I think he had one game with like 12 tackles in one game. Battering ram. I mean, fearless. You know,
he's on the.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
He's on the Maybin trajectory. You know, he's done his dues on special teams, and he's just getting to that point in his career where he's ready to start taking some defensive snaps. And
yeah, so
great time to get a guy fun. Like that.
So you know, just keep trying to where he's the best we can. It's fun reading little tidbits here and there, whatever we can get from the press and whatever they can put on YouTube and stuff. And
hey, UJ.
Yeah.
That guy you keep talking about, we didn't sign him yet. They just had a visit with him. The guy from the Cardinals. The Lions have been talking to a linebacker from the Cardinals, Zaire White, about coming. And UJ thought he was on the team already. So
I did. I guess I misunderstood that one. I thought he was on the team.
Hmm.
They have spoken.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
But it is a guy who they might be adding to the linebacker corps potentially.
You know something we don't know, UJ?
I must have been drunk when I wrote that article. Maybe I misconstrued something.
Were you drunk writing again, UJ?
I was drunk once.
Only once?
I think I saw you.
Yeah, I think we were at the same bar together.
I think so.
What are the odds?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I should have stopped after two Manhattans.
Yeah, well.
I went for the third. And then the Malort. Well,
the Malort, and then the beer.
Oh,
yeah,
you said all Malort.
Yeah. It was a night to remember.
It was. It was.
Like
the Titanic, a night to remember. So the movie based on that. Very similar.
Yeah, it was a night to remember. anyway, I did read a very interesting tidbit that I don't know if any of you guys knew this.
Nope.
Now. John Morton is our new offensive coordinator.
Johnny Mo.
We know he has a history with Campbell. You know, he's even with this team with Campbell in the first year or two. So he's familiar with it. He's familiar with Goff. And I don't really think it's going to be a problem converting over to him running plays or anything like that. But one thing that he said that I'm really excited about, I think you guys know this already, but he really wants to use J-Mo.
Oh,
and yeah. I think we're all excited about that.
Yeah.
J-Mo.
Oh, yeah.
But, he's he just might have a year like for the record books this year. And if you see some of the videos of him in camp, his route running has gotten so much better. He's so quick. I mean, not just speed wise, but I mean like juking and faking and all that stuff and front end his routes. He's going to be a dangerous man.
Yeah, because think about it. You know, he obviously could take out over the top, you know, but if he catches a slant, he's just as good as gone, too. You know, if you get the right seam to run through, that guy is so freaking fast. I mean, it's...
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, besides, like, the home run hitting, like, all that route running to, like, carve a defense up where maybe just because you're not going over the top all the time, you're taking chunks out of them, though, 10, 12... 15-yard chunks. Like, that's what those guys like Justin Jefferson do all the time. They just curl up. I mean, Amon-Ra too. Like, but it just makes him that much more dangerous. He's going to be – he's, like, the closest thing we have on this team to, like, an automatic score button.
Yeah. So again, that. But here's the thing about John Morton that I don't know if anybody knows this yet.
Who?
I'm putting him out there. He's going to be calling
– I heard.
Did you see that?
Pretty cool.
He's not going to be on the field. And when's the last time we had a guy do that? I can't even remember, to be honest. But he just says he likes to see the whole field from there and watch the defense and what they're doing. He thinks he can get a much better view of it from up there.
Yeah.
So, and I think that'll be
to be up there for Goff.
Martz,
I think,
go makes, from the box. I was trying to remember.
Mike Martz. I think he might have. I think he started on the sideline and moved up there or something. Someone we had did, I feel like, but I can't remember. But
yeah, I thought we did, but maybe not. I don't know.
I think especially with Goff, you already have a field general. Like, you don't have to be down there on the sideline getting a two-dimensional view of the field. Be up where you can see everything yourself. You got the radio. You got the guy on the field to get the call. Like, I mean, I like it. I think it's a good idea.
For the same reason you just said, now Goff is the field general.
Oh, yeah.
The field.
It's his offense.
So C will be up in the box looking from there. Goff has the field cover.
Hey, he's comfortable with. I mean, I don't have an opinion either way on the field or on the box. I mean, obviously, coaches have done it well for both spots. So,
right.
Whatever works for these guys.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, preference is a thing of preference.
But I just find that an interesting thing. That's all.
I agree. I thought it was kind of interesting. But I also, to continue the Johnny Morton line of things, his connections to John Gruden have brought John Gruden out to Lions training camp, not to just visit and say hi, but for a few days. He's going to be out there like consulting. They're going to get to pick his brain. This is like getting to pick a brain of one of the all-time greatest head coaches.
I saw him wearing a Lions hat, too. That's kind of nice.
I love that he loves the Lions. It's just, I don't know why. I appreciate his opinion. I respect it. I always liked his quarterback specials for the draft. Everywhere he's gone, like, even his fiery coaching style was always entertaining back in the day. Like, the dude's kind of awesome. So,
careful, though, visiting Lions training camp, because Hulk Hogan did it last year. Now he's dead.
Oh, shit.
So, you know. I don't know if it's a pattern yet, but just be careful.
Maybe he's got the football immunity. I don't know. That's pretty wild, though. Damn.
Eminem.
I was just going to say Eminem did, too.
Be careful. Yeah. Oh, boy.
I don't know. Final Destination.
This is just the beginning of a pattern. No pattern yet.
I think we need to get the Nuge out there. Good guy. He's playing Stranglehold during practice or something, like, put him on. That'd be great, man.
You know, I applaud your leap there, Uncle Bob. That was like a fantastic like connection that's just out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I don't know why I thought of that, but I did. So hello. Anyway.
I hope John Gruden doesn't die too, but if he dies, one of his last greatest gifts was giving Lions his wisdom. To get him the Super Bowl, you know, I think it'll be worth it. And I think he'd agree.
put a ring on his casket or something.
21 gun salute.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy, this is really bad.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, boy.
But I just think it's cool. I think it's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, it's funny how it is when you're good, and then all of a sudden there are all the, you know, A-listers want to come out and touch greatness. You know,
well, it's not just that. Yeah.
Of it, you know,
it's right. We've definitely seen that, but it's Johnny Morris, John Moe. They call him Moe. I forget his name now. Johnny Moe is it's his connection. He came up under the Gruden tree. He's one of his guys. So this isn't just like a random thing. Like, this is a connection that John Morton has brought to the Lions. So pretty cool. And another little nod.
I hope they film him going. He goes and I've seen him give speeches for other teams and stuff, like go out there and give like fiery speech, get guys fired up or shit. He's so awesome at that.
Yeah,
oh, nice. And
maybe he'll do one of those for the Lions. You know, like I don't know. It'd be fun.
Oh, you're talking about Gruden?
Like like at a team meeting, like
you might
get up there and just.
I'd like to see him sit down with Hendon Hooker and like go over some tape with him.
Ooh, yeah, that would be a good.
There you go.
You ever watch those quarterback camps he does?
Yes. They're fantastic. They should never stop doing that. They should keep those going. Those are great.
They might have saved a few coaches or GMs from drafting the wrong guy over the years.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it made some guy moves up in the draft and some guys move down just because of that.
Sure.
Seriously,
it's a test. It's a trial. He puts them on trial.
Yeah, you know, so to see how they are under pressure. And yeah, I thought it was great. It was great for the fans too, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we just need more, you know, football's a drug for us.
Oh, my God.
Give us more. I need more.
It's so glorious in the day of like YouTube now too. It's just like, it's so easy to get more Lions and it's
even better
that they're winning. So it's just like, oh, it's so great.
Yeah. So.
What if everything you've been taught about happiness is wrong? We chase careers, approval, more stuff, hoping it'll finally make us feel fulfilled, but it never sticks. What if happiness isn't out there, but already inside you, just waiting to be unlocked? Discover the book, The Happiness Experiment. Every person has a unique happiness type, and when you understand yours, everything shifts. You'll stop chasing and start creating joy on your own terms. Discover your happiness type with a free happiness type assessment. Go to myhappinesstype.com. That's myhappinesstype.com. It takes just a minute and it might change your life. Then grab your copy of The Happiness Experiment at Books A Million. This isn't just a book. It's a practical framework, a journey inward. It's a tool to help you reconnect with the happiness that's been waiting inside you all along. Pick up The Happiness Experiment and start your happiness experiment today.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
But yeah, I was telling you today, like back in the like 5-10 years ago, I like at work, I'd be trying to find like Lions highlights to get through the day and watch, and like you'd be lucky if you found like a 10-minute like full team season highlights of like the defense. Like the offense had a little bit more, and maybe there was a couple individual Calvin or Stafford, but like now you get entire games that are more entertaining than entire seasons worth of highlights. You get every player has like 12, 20, 15 minute highlight videos that are outstanding. Gibbs, Amon-Ra, J-Mo, Goff, Laporta, Montgomery. Penei Sewell is a highlight reel. O lineman. He is a monster. Like, our defense, it's awesome. It's such a great time to be a lineman.
Yeah, it is an embarrassment of riches, isn't it?
Woo.
With the talent we have on this team.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, 60 years or whatever, been watching the Lions, I've never even remotely seen this much talent on the team.
Oh, no. They're stacked.
Like, I feel like we're in the age of super teams. Like, there's a lot of just like top teams with a ton of talent, and now like the Lions are absolutely one of them, like if not the one.
Yeah,
like
well,
the 49ers, the Ravens.
Well, if you look at last Eagles. Year, this might be the Kool-Aid talk, but I don't think it is. If through like five games last year, whatever, just watching this team, both sides of the ball, best team in football. If,
I agree.
If they it stayed
absolutely
remotely healthy, they oh. nobody was as good as that team.
If we had no. stayed healthy, oh my God.
Nobody.
So that's why it gives me hope for this year.
Yeah, like I after mean, the Tampa game, when we still had everybody intact, once we lost a game, we were all pissed, and then we just went on a tear. Destroyed
oh, yeah.
Dallas, destroyed yeah. Seattle. Like it was there were so many like we were dominant. And that you're right, that defense was trending towards top in the league.
Yep, it was. And hopefully we can get back to that this year. And new healthy people again. So, Anzalone needs back in camp. Good to see all that talk of holdouts and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to hold out. I never suspected.
I don't know what's going to happen with his future or contracts on it, but I don't think he's going to hold out. He'll play whatever.
Like, I don't think his whole handling the situation was the best, taking it to social media like he did, but. At the same time, I think everyone understands trying to get what you think you're owed, but like I just never thought he was the type to hold out. And like even Dan Campbell, I think would have been like confused if he had held out. Like I think when he was asked, he's like, "Oh no, there's none of that." Like,
Anzo, you know, I know it's a cold hearted business and all that, but Anzo was a big part of the rebuilding of his team, like a huge part.
Absolutely,
yeah,
and. And does he deserve
first quality linebacker?
Yeah, he deserves it. Whatever, but business.
It's only if you can contribute now. Like, I mean, that's when you get to that level. You can't just like, oh, we like the guy, you know, keep him, you know.
No,
we owe him for the years of service. No, we have to be the best team this year. You know, every year that starts anew. And but I think he's still going to be a contributor this year. But
I agree.
Big time.
What's his face? Sorry, I'm trying
Campbell's
to blank on
defense.
The yeah Campbell's defense.
Didn't Campbell?
Yeah, I agree. With
Jack
it.
Or Dan told him that. I heard.
Yeah, and Campbell, and they're moving Anzalone around a little bit in camp. I was reading on this. So it's gonna be Jack Campbell running the show, and
for sure,
it's gonna be fun to watch. I'm much excited.
Oh, it's gonna be so much.
And
fun.
And Anzo is obviously he's a madman out there, so. He's playing. He's going to be making plays too. So
look at the difference he made last year when he came back from injury. It was huge difference.
Oh yeah,
wasn't it
immense quality? Like he's a top linebacker. He's one of the top linebackers in the league. I don't know what range 2015, but like he's like a stud and an absolute
he's
impact
a stud.
Player. But like Bob, to your point about him making the plays, I think that dynamic was developing last year already. I think Jack became sort of like the firm, like structure builder of the defense, and Anzo was set loose to go make plays in the backfield and stuff instead of being the middle linebacker. Like Jack locked down that middle. He became that safety blanket to allow like big time plays by Anzo just letting his hair on fire.
If you don't think Campbell's one of the best linebackers, young linebackers, then you don't know Jack.
Oh. So true, though. Like, he's such a monster. I think his rise is still, like, gradually going up. Like, I think he's got so much more.
This kid's going to be considered one of the best linebackers in football.
I agree, but I think he's got so much more to untap. Like, you just don't get athletes built like him, 6'5", 245, that can run like he does, that have his agility and his just everything. He's the full package to be the Urlacher type, the Kuechly type.
Hey, are we talking about Urlacher and Kuechly and those guys like that, for how similar, you know, body types and stuff like that? But I think Campbell's a even way better version than Urlacher for his size and his intimidating presence and all that other stuff was not as violent. I think Campbell's a way more a hard hitting, run stuffing force than than Urlacher was.
I think he's a more gritty player, a more like Urlacher was a finesse guy despite his size, which but like his like I love Jack Campbell, but you're already putting him above Urlacher. Yeah. Like
Urlacher exactly. In his heyday was pretty awesome.
He was so damn good.
He like, I just hope he doesn't like show up at my door.
He's just gonna sell you Rogaine.
I heard what you said. I don't recognize him. Who are you with that hair?
Right. But like he was a super stud. I do think Campbell has the upside to catch him and pass him, but he's got a little ways yet to prove that. But I mean, he's in that league of linebackers. He's that kind of guy.
We drink Kool-Aid here, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you might want to put the
Jack Campbell's going to be way better than Urlacher ever was.
But that's another pick where Brad Holmes is back home smoking a cigar. Like,
oh, hell yeah.
The highlights of you don't draft a linebacker that high, you know? And he's obviously turning out to be a great player, you know.
Plus, yeah, but you know, like I said, to paraphrase, Butkus, Ray Lewis, Urlacher, morons.
Right. Hey, UJ,
you ever saw that movie?
Yeah.
I know you called TJ Watt back in the day for the Lions, but your vision for TJ Watt is what Jack Campbell actually is.
That's true. I picture him more as a linebacker, not as a DN, but
yeah. But obviously. Like Jack Campbell is like that type of guy, though. You know, one thing I'm excited about him is like he's not just gonna be a linebacker. They're gonna put him at the edge and let him rush sometimes. He's 6'5", 250. Like he's got DN size, and they did it last year. Not all the time, but give him looks like that. Like he's got that kind of versatility that like I don't think you're putting TJ Watt at middle linebacker anymore. But I could see Jack Campbell becoming a little bit of a sack specialist with some splash plays like that.
Sure. I'll tell explosive. The other thing about Jack Campbell too is he's like Mike Tyson. He's like a shark. You ever seen him? Like he's got no emotion.
Oh,
like,
he's a killer.
Zero emotion.
Stone cold like, killer. Eyes are,
he's a stone cold killer.
Doll's eyes.
Like a psychopath. Doll's eyes. Yeah, that's where I was going, brother. Yeah, that's what Campbell is out there. He's a stalker, doll's man. He's a hunter. Eyes. He just hunts. That's all he knows. That's all he knows. You can't stop him.
And oh, my God. I love it. I'm so excited right now.
Apparently, the dude is, from the coaching perspective, too, he's a sponge, like picking up all the plays. And he's got everything.
Yeah.
He's doing 3D chess when people are playing checkers. You ever hear that?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Actually, and you know, another what could be, I don't know how much this will weigh on it, but now you got Shep calling the whole defense. He knows his linebackers, and like, I'm just so curious to see how he will utilize them. I mean, I can't imagine it'll be vastly different than what him and AG did together, but I mean, you know, just like our secondary got extra focus under AG, I think our linebackers could get some nice little spice. Because, like, I bet he'll do, like, whatever, like, he always wished the coaches called for him when he was a linebacker type thing, you know?
Like, yeah.
And he knows what Campbell is, and he knows what he's got.
Well, as excited we are about seeing all these different things, Shep's one of those guys that I'm excited about seeing what he does with his defense. And he was handed it. I think he was, well, by Aaron Glenn, and who, by the way, I wish well with the Jets. You know, I don't care for the Jets, but I do like Aaron Glenn. I hope he succeeds there where no one else has.
Yeah,
he doesn't get the ill will that Ben does.
Well, having Aaron Glenn there and no Aaron Rodgers makes them a much more likable team. I'm not a fan of Aaron Rodgers, but
AG is the head coach. He's just a likable guy, so that helps a
lot. Yeah.
I think he's got more of the head coaching in him than Ben Johnson does. The head coaching Ben Johnson, he looks dorkier than ever now that he's with the Bears, doesn't he? Like, he's just dorky now.
I just don't know.
He didn't talk as much with the Lions, and he was kind of cool. He was late back, Mr. Genius in the back, right? He had to say a whole lot, and now he has to talk a lot in front of cameras. He's a just a big dorky guy.
guys like him will have to get results in order to hold a locker room. Like, you need results right away. Like, Dan Campbell could hold a team together through, like, a tumultuous rebuild for, you know, a year and a half before you see really any results. But I don't see Ben being able to weather something like that. I think he would lose a locker room pretty quick if...
They'd have to really be bad.
Yeah.
Because they're coming from being really bad. They have nowhere to go but up.
I think they'll be better.
I agree.
He has to unteach a lot of shit that Caleb Williams is learning. Did you see they had to stop practice because he was lining up incorrectly? And
he's
putting a high standard on them. So I'm not saying they're going to be as going to win the division this year, but they're going to be better, I think.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be better.
One of our fellow YouTubers at Motor City Mania is living up to that name because he went did a full just attack video on Ben Johnson for that, all these news coming out. He's like, Ben's probably pissed right now, and he just dunked on him left and right. I'm like, damn, in the preseason in the training camp, that's just some savage work right there.
This is awesome.
It's a little early. I really do think he'll get more out of Caleb Williams, but I don't know. I just it's going to be interesting to see. He has talent to work with. He's a smart guy. I just, to his personality and his ability to lead men, that's where I have question
Benedict
marks.
Johnson.
Yeah, and he's a traitor. So it's like...
Yeah, it goes to our division.
Yeah.
No, that's so uncouth to do that. There's sort of unwritten rules, in the... You don't go into the same division as your where you came from. But he didn't care.
In a way, it's a gift, though, really. It creates a fun narrative rivalry to build on the division. We got a
good for ratings, for sure.
Yeah, it's not our prediction episode yet, but I will just say that the Bears less than the division.
Packers, maybe?
That's all I'm just saying. Now, we got to say that for the predictions. But
predictions.
Why do you got to save it?
Anyway,
we're in training camp.
I'm just excited. Get to see Campbell talking every day now.
Yeah, baby.
I can't get enough of that guy.
Amik Robertson might be one of my favorite just people on the team. Anytime that guy talks, his voice, that deep, he's like, he sounds wise. He's awesome. He's just a cool dude.
Boys, I have a question here.
Yeah.
Big Z couldn't make it to this podcast, but he sent us a list of things to talk about. Is he trying to control us, or is he trying to help out? That's I'm not sure.
Evidence says
it's all about control.
He wants to keep his finger in the pie, even though he's not on the broadcast.
It's all about control.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So he's our. Let's plan a mutiny.
You're going down, Big Z.
We're Kid all getting Jay, are you in? Woodward.
Kid Jay, you going to turn on your brother with us?
Brother against brother.
We have the numbers.
Big Z. You're big boy. You're booming. What we miss him?
He's missed. He's missed.
Nah. We miss you, Z.
We do miss you, Z.
We miss flaunting your control, Big Z. We miss it.
Yeah.
Actually, that's what he did. He gave us that outline to ignore, to just, make us feel him.
It was a test. It was failed. <miserably.
laughs> Or passed.
But I think some of the stuff we talked about was probably on his list. So
good chance. We covered a lot of stuff.
Guys, one big thing you got to discuss. It's a pretty big storyline, I think. But I'm But Jared Goff's a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Typically, how do you start a football play? Typically,
you snap the ball.
Who typically snaps the ball though?
That would be the center.
Yeah, and that's a big storyline.
We did talk about that last week, and UJ and I were thinking Rutledge, and Z was saying Glasgow, and it started out was gonna be Rutledge, and now it looks like Glasgow's taking snaps. So
it's kind of looking that way. Yeah.
But I think that's predictable camp rotation stuff to me. You're just gonna, because they're gonna want to give Rutledge, they cross train everybody for one, and they're giving Rutledge, they just gave him a full dose of center. Right guard could even be just like a go back to what you're familiar with and you can process it, and you gotta learn it here at this level anyway. I don't see it as really significant yet, because I think Graham was always going to be either center one or center two before we ever signed Rutledge. So to me, this is I get we're following the numbers of camp and stuff, but it's to me, that's why it's not really a story yet. Cause it's just, other than, if you're reading it moment by moment.
But in my opinion, though, if they were fully intending Rat to be the center, he'd be getting all the reps. right now, like pretty much.
He was.
And the fact that they switched over to Glasgow, maybe it's a lot to put on a rookie, you know? I don't know.
Well, he can learn next to Glasgow too and watch how he does it and feel him and get used to, like, I mean, he's got to learn right guard at this level as well. He's got to learn both positions. That's what he is, and that's what the Lions will train him on. They're going to train him both. And because they're both more comfortable at right guard. Even Graham said he likes right guard better or whatever. But like, I think you could even, who knows? I think Graham, he has a lot to learn, but, and learning another whole position. I think that look, I guess we don't know. So I'll say this. My theory at this point is the job is still open. I think he's the preferred guy because of the implications of future, you know, settledness there at the position, the talent and all that. But, you know, we don't know. And you know, the battle's open. So we'll see who wins what positions.
Yeah, I agree. I think they want Ratledge to do it. And they were hoping he would. But that whole drinking out of a fire hose, you know, when you're getting all this information when you're as a rookie, I think he's kind of run into that a little bit. So it's probably they're giving him a step back a little. But I think eventually, hopefully this year, maybe even opening day, who knows, but he'll be playing center.
Yeah, you know, I think we'll find out by the second or third preseason game. I think you're going to see the lineup kind of sort itself out, getting all the reps and stuff. I think we'll know before the season starts, a couple weeks before.
We'll see. Miles Frazier was my only other, like, favorite to really compete for one of those three interior spots, other than the Dark Horse Sorsel. But I think one of those guys playing center, the other playing right guard, like, we're good. That's going to be the combo. Graham's either going to be the center or he's going to be. Like, so, and I think that's a good thing
because
you don't need him to play center right away because you have Graham. So, you know, if he just needs to adjust to the speed of the game and you're still learning everything at right guard, just because you're not calling it at center, you know, you're going to be picking up all that stuff, and he can be groomed with a guy like Glasgow to keep it locked down for the short term.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out, but I do have relatively better line, despite its youth, will be formidable. Will be very good.
I don't see any reason. The talent's too great.
Yeah.
I think Mahogany is something I've heard good things about. Like, just he's a beast, and he's stepping back into that feeling of where we left him last year, which I don't know why. Like, he just gave that impression that this was what we're going to get, is this dominant O lineman who, you know, maybe wasn't perfect as a rookie, but like, he's just going to be a dude, and that's just not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And one quick fact about, Tate, is that he did train as the backup center all through college, so he's not unfamiliar with playing center, just not in games.
Right.
So I mean, that's worth something right there. So he just has to,
either way, it's,
he said snapping's easy, which is not necessarily always easy for people. So that's, if he can snap it and do the plays and stuff, well, it's just a matter of him catching up with the processing of the defenses and stuff, which he's going to get, and I bet pretty quick.
I think we'll see some reps with him in the preseason, him being a rookie,
absolutely,
getting his feet wet and stuff. I think we'll see him. Maybe a couple of the Frazier is injured. Mm-hmm. I think he's out for a little while. Not too long.
I really thought he'd have his hat in there to take one of those spots.
Yeah, I did. I did too. But it's okay. And I like the way the Lions do things now. It seems, you know, everything seems, you know, because the guy's hurt. Oh, no, they're hurt again. They're being so careful with these guys, you know, like getting them into the season healthy and stuff like that. So I'm not overly concerned about that kind of stuff. But,
no, and a lot of, like, times you hear the injuries, like Arnold was out, Barnes was out, and then, like, they were back the next day for practice, full pads, like they went full go. So They're going with proper caution. And plus, you know, they understand a level of, like, well, you're pushing through pain and all that, but like certain people have more at stake at this juncture of the off season. Like, everyone's got to pull their weight and play the standard, but like, not everybody who makes the standard is going to make this team. And so certain guys are probably going to have to munch down on some more pain if they want to even stick around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For and sure.
That O-line, because the biggest loss for the team this year is not Ben Johnson. It's losing
Ragnow.
I agree. And
100%.
But this team, you know, these guys have a lot of pride. It's nice to see. The good news is we're going to get to see Ratledge as a starter this year, you know, like the young blood flowing in there. So I think this line will be good. I mean, because they were great last year, right? Like, especially early in the season, that was like the best line football probably.
They were so good.
Right up there. And so can they get that level again this year?
Yeah.
Well, and like the thing is, even if they don't get like top three or like even top five, like if they're a top 10 offensive line with the weapons we mentioned earlier, like those weapons also take pressure off the line. It's like when you just got guys so fast and so good, you don't need a perfect line. Like was the Eagles offensive line better last year without Kelsey? Or was it just that they were good enough and the team as a whole was good? You know, like, I think there's a lot to that. Like, and you don't need the best line. You just need a good line. And you got Goff. He's going to, you know, like, you just can't get beat a whole lot. But I don't see the talent on this O-line, the skill, the guys we already have entrenched to the veterans. Like, I just can't see us dropping very far in any kind of rankings. It will at least be potent, if not perfect.
And Goff, if he just continues his progression as, you know, a general field general, like you said, and make quick decisions out there, he's got so many places that the pressure's on. You got Gibbs, you got Montgomery, you got Laporta. Ooh. Like, he's always got those guys to go to. Like,
UJ.
Sorry.
But you touched on something else that, you know, for all the – let's just pile on Ben even more. They're doing more Gibbs and Monty pairings formations with both of them on the field at the same time. Like, I almost felt like Ben Johnson lied to us with some of what he said about Gibbs being some special weapon he was going to use. And some of that could just be where Gibbs' development was as a receiver and stuff like that, I guess. But I don't know. That sounds a little shaky because he's just too fucking quick and stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, that's something Johnny Moe's messing around more with. He's doing –
just imagine you're the opposing defense and you got Gibbs and Montgomery in the backfield at the same time
with Amon-Ra,
J-Mo, Amon-Ra, like oh
maybe
my
Tesla.
God, you can't. So who do you Belichick's days, they used to take your strongest thing and take it out of your game, right? That was like his big thing, you know, and a lot of teams do that. It's not original, but like, what do you take away from the Lions? Okay, let's concentrate on Amon-Ra, let's take him out of the game. But then you got J-Mo, you got Laporta, you got, let's take J-Mo out. Oh, but then you got, it's like, who do you, you can't take one guy out because there's too many weapons.
It's a full blown Hydra, baby. And like, what's our, like, even go like, what, then you get like hit with Brock Wright randomly, or you get what's his name? Khalif Raymond randomly. Like, there's just too many dudes.
Yeah. Too many.
I think that's what teams are going to test, though, is our O-line. I mean, as far as pass protection, they're going to be coming at Goff because he's better when he has a little time. You know, some guys thrive under pressure. He's not quite as good.
Bad at unexpected pressure from D linemen like that, or that's where he struggles the most. Like, blitzes, he kills, but like if it's a D lineman breaking free off a block, that's where you get him.
I'm confident in them, but I think that's going to be a test for this team, especially early in the year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And we'll see more of a screen game, more of a, you know, stuff like that.
I think the run game will definitely be where they try to hang their hat first.
Yeah. That's like, our bread and butter.
That's the easiest one, though, for college players to come in and pick up is just drive dudes off the ball, you know. And like, I think there's a little more simplicity in just killing on in run game versus all the pass block nuances and stuff and the speed of the pass rushers.
It'll be interesting
to
see Morton calling the game, though, because I love a well-timed screen. And I mean, whatever, I know everyone's hating on Ben now, but he was a really good call player or a play caller up till the very end. But
Yeah.
So be interesting. I hope Morton's like jiving with the team, you know, like, and
I think in a way he's going to be more conventional, but in a way more dynamic because of it. Like, I think Ben Johnson was like super unconventional, and we got a lot of yards on like really a ton of creativity. And it just felt like sometimes we just needed the bread and butter, like just pound the rock and then hit a play action for a deep shot. You didn't need like 1,000 little gears in every play. Like, sometimes you just got to win on talent and execution. And I'm not saying we didn't do that, but that's like my small like criticism slash not even just description of how he operated, because obviously it's not much to pick apart. Like, the dude was very, very good. So I'll be very curious to see what he does with them.
I'll still say this. I said it last podcast. Dan is all over this offense.
Well, yeah.
He's in the back, the marionette.
I agree.
He's got his offense. It doesn't matter. We'll put you or me in there. We'll still have a really good team. I don't know. Campbell is he's a genius.
Is that like Sound of Music when they got the puppet show?
Yeah.
You know,
very nice.
High on a hill is Amon Ra.
Amon Ra with the ball in his hand. Anyway.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, wait. On that note.
I think that's appropriate, right. Though. I think you're on point.
I think we hashed it out pretty good tonight, boys.
We talked
about a lot of good stuff. It's going to be fun. So let's look forward to that new the preseason Thursday night, baby. It begins.
Oh, football's here, baby.
Let's root for our boys. And I'm sorry. I got to root for them to lose.
UJ, I actually had thoughts on that.
Yeah.
I think you created a causal fallacy around that season because your delusional blue Kool-Aid-ness allowed you to think it was the four wins in the preseason that caused 0-16 and not that we were an absolute dumpster fire of a football team back then. And and it's not the four wins that had anything to do with it.
Red Dog, I disagree completely.
Okay. Yeah.
It was the four wins.
Thanks, Bob. Wins. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for backing me up on that one. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Wow. He's known.
Young.
Wow.
You can disagree,
well known among Lions fans that is a bad idea to go 4-0.
Yeah, but that's because we're still we're confused by that year because we thought confused. You know, we had delusions that our team was actually any good and not a terrible team.
Yeah, you're wrong. Red Dog wrong again.
Yeah.
He's wrong more than most of us.
I mean, you can keep just saying I'm wrong, but don't make me wrong.
Okay, you're wrong. I'll say it.
I know.
I'll say it. Ray, you're wrong.
Thanks.
All right. On that note, boys, it's been a good pod. We'll hopefully have Big Z back with us next pod.
Stay tuned. He wanted us to predict the Lions game, and I'm going to say they're going to win 42-10. There you go.
Oh, okay. 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 What do you say, Radon?
It's
random numbers.
You know what? I'm going to go 74-10.
Lions?
Yes.
74-10.
I think our second strings are elevated.
And a Dominic Lovett touchdown.
I'm calling it Lovett Tesla touchdown.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to say Hendon Hooker's going to have a really good game. He's going to throw three touchdown passes, and we're going to lose 45-21.
All right.
Because we need to lose one of these preseason games. So
why would you want to lose the Hall of Fame game, though? Wouldn't you want to at least win that
one?
Who
really cares? Except for some of the young kids out there playing what they can do. But, like, the game itself, it's usually the most dreadful game of the year.
It's Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell, winning matters, and they represent the Lions. I don't care if it's just third and four stringers. They want to go out there and win. And
I want them to try.
No, they don't want to win.
I don't fucking try.
They want to do well individually.
You don't win Super Bowls by just trying. Oh, my God.
You mean you win Super Bowls by not trying?
What? No, yeah, by doing.
So you don't
win
Super Bowls by trying.
Yeah, by doing.
So by not trying, you win Super Bowls? You're not making any sense.
No, because if you try, that means you failed.
What?
But if you did, you...
So those guys who win the Super Bowl, they didn't try to win the Super Bowl?
No, they won a Super Bowl. They didn't try to win a Super Bowl.
What did they try to do?
Yeah, what did they try to do?
Obviously, you guys didn't understand Star Wars, so I don't know if this conversation.
Yeah, you don't have the Yoda gravitas.
Well, use it,
you know,
in a Star Wars action.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Okay, there you go. That's better. Now I understand.
Yeah.
You're saying.
You know, Yoda all right, helped
again,
everybody
again,
out.
I'll say on that note. Yeah. All right. Right. Like I've said it like five times already. No one takes a hint on this podcast. Right.
Oh, hey, so, but wait. Giovanni Manu.
Okay.
No more.
Hey, just personally, I want to thank all the fans and all you listeners out there for listening to us.
You really are heroes if you're listening at this point.
And I'm going to turn it over to Kid Jade for other people we got to thank. And
where to find everything.
Kid Jade, yeah. Help me out.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram. And then I'm follow us on YouTube at DDBK_Lions and email us at drinkingwithKoolAid@gmail.com. So, and right. Like and subscribe as always.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, thanks, Kid Jay.
Best producer in the
best
business.
Around.
Kid Jay.
He literally is the best in the business.
Best around.
And, no one's so thanks for all listening. We'll be back soon, probably next week. Big Z will be back with us. So until then, football. As always,
go
forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and game, a Lions victory.
Go!
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.